Welcome back. I'm Peter St. Ange. This is a weekly roundup of my daily videos on the economy and freedom, where I cut through the BS and lay out what the gaslighting clowns pulled out of their hats this week and what is coming next. The federal spending borg is eating the country alive, crapping out wars and welfare for migrants, and leaving the people they serve to fight over the crumbs. Fresh numbers came out last week that the federal government spent roughly twice what it took in tax revenue last month, as the federal deficit hit the second highest ever, second only to the COVID lockdowns. Meanwhile, separate data reports that interest costs on federal debt alone are consuming fully two-thirds of the income taxes you pay. So as you tally up the tens of thousands in taxes you're paying next month, reflect on the sense of achievement that two-thirds of that is going to Wall Street and Chinese investors. In short, we are at the loot the treasury stage of the fall of empire, which always happens with paper money. You could argue the surprise is that it's taken this long. So first the numbers. The U.S. Treasury reported that last month it collected $271 billion, yet it spent $567 billion, more than double. About $224 of the spending was Social Security, Medicare, and veterans benefits. The other $343 was wars, welfare, and interest on the debt. In other words, what's bankrupting us is the welfare-warfare complex. In fact, federal tax receipts adjusted for inflation have been down since 2021. This is very odd considering the Bidenomics miracle. Normally, a rising economy pays more taxes, so it suggests there is a lot of hidden distress that government statisticians are somehow missing. So taxes are down, yet spending has soared 50% since COVID. To illustrate, pre-COVID, federal spending was running under $400 billion per month. Since COVID, it's been closer to $600. This brought the February deficit alone to nearly $300 billion, which is up 13% on last year's grotesque number, and it puts us on track for $2 trillion of deficit this year. For perspective, in 2015, which was Obama's last year, the annual deficit was about $400 billion. Now, it's $300 billion in a month. Of course, that deficit is what's driving skyrocketing federal debt, which is up $1 trillion in just the past 100 days. That comes to an annual rate of $3.5 trillion, which is also known as $28,000 per household in America. So think of it like putting $2,300 on the credit card every month and never, ever paying it off. And that brings us to the interest payments. So last month, Treasury collected $120 billion from individual income taxes and spent fully 76 of that on debt interest. As my colleague E.J. Antoni pointed out, that's not $76 billion for roads, schools, or Social Security. It's just to service old debt, the monthly interest on the credit card while they pile up fresh trillions. This is obviously unsustainable, and it's getting worse as the fresh debt piles up the interest costs. And next recession, it could balloon past the point of no return. We're not far from the day when all taxes are going to old debt, with all new spending being effectively printed, racking up yet more trillions as the months tick by. So what's next? Washington has entered the Ponzi financial stage. Of course, they could stop it overnight by slashing spending, but they won't. The 2008 crisis and COVID opened the floodgates, growing the federal beast to cancerous proportions. How will it end? How it always ends. Inflation, mass defaults, and sovereign debt crises. The only question is when. In case you thought Republicans in Congress were vaguely interested in reining in the out-of-control federal spending that's driving the economy to stagflation and leaving the American people to fight over the crumbs, they are not. Last week, as widely expected, GOP Speaker Johnson caved on another $1.2 trillion in spending, handing the Dems everything their grabby little hearts could desire. Now, one might argue this is disappointing since the Republicans control the House, meaning they control, in theory, the purse strings, as in, if they don't pass a budget, nothing gets spent. Of course, that power is completely neutered, since Republicans are afraid of shutting down the government, because they'll get blamed by the left-wing media for making grandma eat the cat food. This pork-packed spending bill was over 1,000 pages long, plus another 932 pages of, quote, explanatory statements, which is where they stuff all the really ugly things. Naturally, it was released at 3 a.m. since our government is deeply proud of the work it does. It funds a bevy of six agencies for the next 6 months and also includes fun little Easter eggs like a new national red flag center that will spend $750 million, implying it will hire thousands of agents, to attack your Second Amendment rights. In fact, those goons might even be housed at the FBI's new $200 million headquarters, also funded by this bill, presumably as a reward for being so helpful hunting down peaceful protesters who the regime does not like. So in short, the uniparty swamp wins again. National debt will continue growing. At the moment, it's running $1 trillion every 100 days, while, of course, the Republicans managed to get precisely nothing done about our gaping wound of a southern border or any of the other major promises. Now, in fairness, the $1.2 trillion bill does do a lot of other things. It funds nonprofits, hormone therapies for regendering kids, and it gives $500,000 for the NAACP's new headquarters. Note, the NAACP is, in theory, not actually a government agency. Along with $1 million for an LGBT community center in Philly that will help it fund monthly fetish parties. While I freely admit that monthly fetish parties are an important federal function, one might ask if there's not something else we could have spent the money on, like, say, a border. Moreover, these are not just about corruption, they illustrate how the deep state works. So the left uses tax money to fund its own activist army, while the GOP is happy to hold their beer so long as there's some artillery in there for Ukraine. And you might remember during Trump, every time the media pearl-clutched over some fresh tweet, there was an insta-mob of hundreds protesting the street in about 15 minutes flat. Asked why the right cannot summon instant mobs, the running joke was that our people have jobs. But the much darker truth is that the left's activists are literally paid to protest. They are paid by you, a literal tax-funded activist army, funded 1 million at a time. So what's next? At this point, the federal deficit is approaching 8% a year, which is the kind of number you only see if we are in the depths of a major recession or the depths of a major war. For that to be happening in relative peacetime, both economically and kinetically, suggests Washington has completely lost control. I'm a big fan of saving Bitcoin for the long term, and the Unchained Bitcoin IRA is a great way to do that. You get the tax advantages, and if it's a Roth IRA, you're not going to pay capital gains so long as you HODL. Most Bitcoin IRAs make you give up control, which can expose you to exchange hacks or even re-lend it out like banks do. With Unchained, you control the keys to your Bitcoin, which means you always know it's there. They also provide one-on-one concierge service to walk you through it and answer any questions. Why pay more taxes than you need to? Set it up today at Unchained.com. Use promo code Peter to get $100 off a Bitcoin IRA. In case you were thinking of retiring someday, there's some bad news from Janet Yellen. Social Security and Medicare are now underfunded by $175 trillion, that's with a T. That comes to roughly $1.4 million per household. Now, it's worth noting the median household net worth in the United States is roughly one-seventh of that. The numbers come from the latest financial report of the United States government, a 254-page report laying out all the gory details. One chart is particularly eye-catching, laying out the scale. So you've got the actual deficit, which is now bouncing along at $2 trillion, then the national debt at a grotesque $35 trillion, and then the real fun starts. So undefunded obligations on Social Security and Medicare that collectively add up to another $175 trillion. So what happened? Simple. Politicians stole every penny that went into Social Security and Medicare, replacing them with IOUs, government bonds, like Indiana Jones plopping a bag of sand on the altar. So it turns out that was a large amount to steal. Social Security and Medicare together account for over a third of what the federal government collects in the form of a 15.3% payroll tax. Your company actually pays half of that, so you pay twice what you think you do. Now, both programs are incredibly wasteful, as you would expect from a government program, and they pay out billions in fraudulent claims every year, including to people who live overseas. But the real problem is both were intentionally set up as Ponzi schemes. That is, they took in a lot of money early, when there were lots of people paying and few elderly. They pretended to set all that money aside, but they actually spent it, replacing it with that bag of sand. Yet even the bag of sand is going now, with both programs expected to run dry in the next 10 years, so 2031 for Medicare and 2033 for Social Security. So what's next? There are only three ways to fix this. First is slash the number of people who get benefits. So for example, raise the retirement age to 70 or beyond. This is obviously very unpopular. Occasionally some naive Republican tries, which is typically the last thing he does before ending his congressional career. Option two is raise payroll taxes, which is also unpopular since payroll is a flat tax, meaning voters hate it as much as they would hate all taxes if they too were flat. And that brings us to option three, cutting benefits. This is the path of least resistance, the do-nothing path, so we can safely assume Congress will follow it. Concretely, that means whatever benefits you are expecting, slash a huge chunk off that. So analysts are already expecting a 23% cut within a decade when those fake trust fund sandbags run dry, and then it keeps going. They will cut off the rich first. Of course, there aren't that many rich, so they'll quickly move on to slashing Social Security checks and Medicare benefits for the middle class. So you'll keep paying every step of the way, but you won't get much back. This will throw millions of Americans back on their own savings, which, of course, are draining even faster than those empty government promises. A few days ago, the Wall Street Journal warned, quote, "The world is in for another China shock." In short, the Chinese economy is sputtering as Chinese stop buying stuff and leftover goods are being dumped abroad by the tens of billions. This puts what remains of American manufacturing in the crosshairs. Janet Yellen is now warning China not to flood America with cheap green energy products. Why green energy in particular? Because the Chinese government, like our own, has dumped hundreds of billions into green products nobody wants. Well, not enough people want. To give a flavor, at one point China had 500 electric car makers, many of which have now gone bust. The problem for Yellen is dumping that unsold inventory to the U.S. could wipe out the hundreds of billions Biden just plowed into solar panel and battery factories all across the nation with the comically named Inflation Reduction Act. Mass bankruptcies would be embarrassing since it leaves taxpayers on the hook for the $400 billion already spent on subsidies and tax credits. It's worth noting that $400 billion worth of construction workers and steel could have been used for competitive manufacturing or, say, houses. Instead, of course, it was wasted. Hence Janet Yellen's desperate plea, ironically enough, issued at a Nevada solar panel company that was shuttered by cheap Chinese imports in 2017, only to be relaunched at taxpayer expense this spring. Of course, China will ignore Janet Yellen as it ignores Joe Biden. And of course, the problem is much bigger than green energy. That's just the most embarrassing bit for Joe Biden. The rest of American manufacturing is the real problem, and the 13 million American workers who feed their families. And that brings us to that second China shock. So in the 2000s, the U.S. was hit with a flood of cheap Chinese imports, which did keep inflation low, and suddenly that contributed to the housing boom as the Fed could pretend that overall inflation was low. But the cost was we lost fully one-third of manufacturing jobs. That's 5.6 million manufacturing jobs lost in just those 10 years. The problem is the sequel could be a lot worse this time, because back in the 2000s, the Chinese economy was booming, so it was running about 10% growth. That meant a lot of China's cheap output was being soaked up locally, as hundreds of millions of Chinese graduated from living off the land to buying washing machines and cars. Today is a very different story. So I've mentioned in recent videos how President Xi has half killed the golden goose he inherited, turning in roughly 5% growth since taking office. That's about half what it used to manage. He did this by channeling money into politically favored industries and above all, government infrastructure and property that is now overbuilt to the point of those famous ghost cities with no people. Those chickens are now coming home to roost, with Chinese growth hit or miss for 5% and widespread deflation as Chinese stop spending. That leaves a tidal wave of unsold goods to plow into what's left of American manufacturing. So what's next? Governments are bad at industrial policy in the best of times because they are corrupt, but also because they are stupid. Given China's troubles, this time they could end up dooming a huge share of what remains of Made in America. Do you have an IRA, 401k, or an annuity? Pay attention. A A secret war on your retirement is here that threatens your financial future. Consider the years of hard work you've invested in your nest egg, dreaming of a comfortable retirement. Now, imagine it all disappears overnight. This isn't a distant possibility. It's our current reality outlined in a new report from our show sponsor, ITM Trading. Facing collapse, the U.S. economy with soaring inflation, growing national debt, and looming bank crises threatens your retirement accounts. Think the FDIC has you covered? This free report reveals why you're more at risk than you think. We're on the cusp of an economic downturn, potentially rivaling the Great Depression, with your retirement at the forefront of the crisis. Call 866-414-1366 to get your hands on their free report, The Secret War on Your Retirement, that breaks down the current crisis and what you can do to protect your retirement. In case you thought anybody in Washington was driving this thing, they are not. It's official, the Department of Treasury is now issuing debt at pandemic levels. That was twice the previous record, and here we are again. In raw numbers, latest figures for Q4 2023 show Treasury issued $7 trillion in new debt in just 3 months. For the entire year, it came to $23 trillion. That has bloated the Treasury market. It's now up 60% since the pandemic. In other words, one-third of outstanding U.S. debt has fresh ink on it. It's also up roughly sixfold since the 2008 crisis, meaning if we hit another crash, it could be a lot bigger. At this point, federal debt is rising by $1 trillion every 90 days, and U.S. government spending as a percent of GDP is at World War II levels. Given we are not in a world war, at least in theory, nor are we in a pandemic, why so much debt? Easy, it is buying growth. As Balaji Srinivasan puts it, the economy isn't real. It's propped up by debt. They will fake it till they break it. Even the Wall Street Journal, who loves debt, is sounding the alarm, writing that rapid growth in debt often ends badly. And given the enormous size and alleged safety of U.S. debt, any, quote, instability could be catastrophic. Why catastrophic? Because U.S. treasuries are treated like cash by everything from banks to pension funds to large corporations and individual 401ks. A treasury is essentially seen as cash that pays interest. This is false, of course. A treasury is actually a promise from Uncle Sam to pay you back someday, perhaps 20 or 30 years in the future. That means that unlike cash, any concerns that investors might have about Uncle Sam's ability or willingness to pay can crash treasuries. Now, if that happens, it immediately sends the entire banking system, the pension system, and hundreds of corporations into default. Indeed, it could break the payments plumbing that underpins the entire financial system, meaning you wouldn't be able to get money. Not your salary, not your mortgage, not your groceries. If that all sounds dire, recall that all of these are sustained by the gossamer-thin belief that Uncle Sam will pay back every last penny with interest. This is curious given that neither voters, who in theory run the country, nor Congress, who actually does run the country, seem to think the debt is real. You can actually try this at home. Tell a voter that student loan bailouts will cost $1 trillion, meaning 10 grand out of their pocket, or that another war will cost 30 grand out of their pocket. Most don't care because it's not real. So the voters don't think it's real. Congress doesn't think it's real, but literally everything depends on the illusion that every penny of federal debt will be repaid in full with interest. What could go wrong? So what is next? Every fiscal trend is in the wrong direction. We're already at $2 trillion deficit. It will soar by yet more trillions when recession hits, and it will keep churning with Social Security and Medicare both growing and spending on everything from illegal immigrants to fresh wars. At this point, there is nothing standing between us and fiscal collapse. There is no countervailing force. The only question is when. Thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe to get next week's episode fresh in your inbox and go to petersanange.com to read the weekly articles with charts and all the gory details. Okay, we'll be watching. See you next time.